In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their callings as children and inheritors with him of eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether perhaps he was the Christ, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord,
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's only 1 week after Epiphany, and it already feels like we're back in Advent. It just can't come again soon enough. Once again, we find ourselves listening to the preaching of John the Baptist as he came to prepare the way of the Lord. But in the Epiphany season, when our Lord makes himself manifest to us, it is appropriate that we remember the difference between John and Jesus, between John's ministry and Jesus' ministry, between who John was and who Jesus is. You see, the people were in expectation throughout John's ministry, and there was one question on everyone's minds. Was John the Christ? John's preaching, of course, had stirred something up in those people. He was preaching like one of the prophets, and that meant something was surely going to happen. Perhaps the Messiah would finally come. So the people were all asking in their hearts the same question that John himself would later send his disciples to ask Jesus. Are you the coming one, or shall we wait for another? They all wanted to know, is this the Christ? Is this the one who will save his people from their sins? Is this our Redeemer? Now, it's probable that the people who went out to see John all had some idea in their heads of what the Messiah would be like. And perhaps they thought that John was the one to fit that mold. And so they all hoped, and they all thought, maybe this is the one. And this really isn't anything new. The people had been looking for the Savior, for the Messiah, since the dawn of time. Think, of course, of Eve, who bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man, the Lord. Suddenly there was a new player on the scene, the seed whom the woman had borne. Surely this must be the Christ, the one that God told us about. But of course, as we all know, Cain was not the Christ, despite what Eve might have hoped. Perhaps some thought it was Moses. He did, after all, lead his people out of captivity, and he was, in this way, a savior. But Moses points to one who would come after him, saying, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And so many probably also thought it was Joshua. He was Moses' immediate successor. If God was going to raise a prophet like Moses, it makes sense that it would be the guy who came right after him. But no, this was not the one either. And of course, we all know what it's like to be waiting for someone and to think, this is the one. How often do we put our hope and our prayers in someone thinking, this is the guy, and yet we're let down in the end? This always happens with political figures, as we all know in this election year. A fresh new candidate shows up and we think, this is the one. This is the one who's finally going to make this truly a prosperous nation, who will increase our quality of living and our security. Or maybe we should still wait for another. And even if the candidate you want is the one who wins the election, things never turn out the way you planned after all. Or maybe you get a new boss at work, and you think he will finally straighten things out. This one actually makes decisions that make sense for once, and he values your input, unlike the last guy who was jaded and just didn't care anymore. But although this one may not have all the problems the old boss had, he introduces a whole new set of headaches you never saw coming. Or maybe you bought a new car, one from a different manufacturer, because the old one gave you so much trouble and it always had mechanical problems. It was less of a car and more of a hole you just kept throwing money in. But even though the new car is shiny and it smells good and it looks good, it turns out this one is riddled with electrical problems. And the gas cap is on the wrong side, so when you pull in the gas station, you feel like your shoes are on the wrong feet. The point is, it's common for us to build up these expectations in our head and to always jump on whoever or whatever is the latest and greatest and think this must be the one. And of course, the same thing happened with John the Baptist. And so the people were asking in their hearts if he might be the Christ. Are you the coming one, John, or shall we wait for another? John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. No, John was not the Christ. And John was no Boaz either. He could not take the Redeemer's sandal, for the true Redeemer had come, and he had come to be baptized by John. John's ministry was to point the way to Jesus, to prepare for his arrival. Jesus, of course, is the true Redeemer of Israel, and now John's ministry is over. It's so over, in fact, that it ends with his arrest and his eventual beheading. But Jesus had come, and he would be the one to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he would be the one to clear the threshing floor. And he had come to manifest his glory by being baptized by John in the Jordan River. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the single most important event in the ministry of Jesus aside from his crucifixion and resurrection. For in it we see that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one, anointed by the Holy Spirit in his baptism alongside the divine declaration of the Father, announcing him as the chosen, true Redeemer of Israel. And by Jesus' baptism, the heavens were opened. And this is not to say that the heavens opened up just long enough to let the Holy Spirit out and were promptly closed again like a caged door, but Jesus has opened the heavens for all time to you and to all those who have been baptized into Christ. For the work of Jesus was to save his people from their sins, to tear down the walls that separated man from God, and to open heaven once again to mankind. And he paid the debt of your sins. And so, as we learn from St. Paul, all those who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death and into his resurrection. For it is by being baptized that Jesus has connected himself to us. It is by being baptized that he has sanctified all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. All those who have been baptized and believe, therefore, will be saved. We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Therefore, Jesus is the one, not John. Jesus is our true Redeemer. And as much as we might try to look to others, even though there are many who have come before, it is only Jesus who can bring salvation. Only Jesus, true God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, was able to save his people from their sins. And through his baptism, he has opened heaven. And so what then is said to Jesus by the Father at his baptism is also, of course, spoken to every Christian who is baptized. For in your baptism too, did the Holy Spirit come down from the already opened heavens. And as the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit was spoken and placed upon you, so in that act did God say to you, You are my beloved son, or you are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased. And so, although the old Adam
may be drowned in the flood of baptism, and although the chaff is burned up with an unquenchable fire, nevertheless God will guide each of you home through the flood and through the fire to himself in heaven as his dear children. For also what he spoke through the prophet Isaiah, so also he says to you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God has saved you through the water and through the fire by Christ, who has baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and who is the one who saved his people from their sins and has called you his own through that same blessed flood. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray to our anointed King, for his bride, the Church, and for all people according to their needs. For those baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, that God would give them delight in their adoption as his children and embolden them to proclaim Christ Jesus as God's wisdom and righteousness to the world, let us pray to the Lord. For the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and for all who have been placed in positions of leadership, for Matthew, our Synod President, our District Presidents, for Lawrence and Dale, our Seminary Presidents, and for all our pastors and people, that God would grant them the oil of gladness in faithfully confessing Christ Jesus and bringing forth his mercy and truth for all people, let us pray to the Lord. For the leaders of the nations and of this nation, that God would grant them faithfulness to his holy will and humility as they work to instill the rule of law and to care for the vulnerable among us, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are sick or injured, that God would anoint them with healing according to his gracious will. And for those who mourn, that our Lord would comfort them with Christ's victory over the grave and the promise that their loved ones are heirs of life eternal, let us pray to the Lord. For the grace given only through Jesus Christ, that through his presence in us the hungry may be fed, the thirsty given drink, the naked clothed, the homeless sheltered, and the desperate situations of many people be attended to by us, and that by the glory that the glory of these good works be given to God alone, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are held captive by addictions, that by the power of his word, God would break the bonds that enslave them and restore their relationships with family and friends, let us pray to the Lord. For all who come to the Lord's table this day, that God would grant them a faithful eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood, filling them with the righteousness of Christ and a delight in the royal blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Let's pray.
O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Let the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.